Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned earlier the focus of the message here is on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, sharing verse 27 with you. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. My dear Christian friends, so if you had to pick just one part, and you couldn't be any other, if you had to pick just one part of the body, which part of the body would you be? Just one part. Kind of a difficult choice, or easy to find one? Now, I realize that this is probably making a little uncomfortable. Talking about the body makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but keep in mind that our bodies are created by the Lord. In fact, verses 22 to 25, which were not part of the lesson this morning, goes this way. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, thinking like eyes. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. All right, so keeping in mind that God has made the body, designed it, I'm going to ask you again, if you had to pick one part, and you couldn't be any other part, which part of the body would you be? I'm not asking for you to call it out. You don't have to do that, but I'm just making sure you have it. All right, now let me ask you, would it make a difference if you could be the one part of somebody else's body? And what I'm thinking of is like Einstein's brain or Mother Teresa's heart or Michael Phelps's shoulders, the swimmer, you know. Would that make a difference? Would it make a difference if it had to be a part of your body? One part. That might be a little tougher, huh? See, I think as you think about this question, the first round of it, you kind of think of the body in general. And you think, oh, let's see. You know, there are certain parts of the body that are really neat. And if it's at the peak of its powers, and boy, that would be really neat. Like maybe the command of the brain or the data collecting and guiding of the eyes. How wouldn't that be? If I was to be just an eye, I'd be an eye or just the brain. But if we turned it to somebody else, then there are attributes that we admire about somebody else, like Einstein's brain or Einstein's hair. I don't know. Maybe it's just some of us. But then you turn it to your own body. That might be a little tough. I mean, because we know our bodies. We know our minds, we know our hearts, we know our failures, we know our shortcomings, we know our inabilities, we know our weaknesses, and that really changes things. Yeah, we know ourselves pretty well, and that's pretty tough to determine what part of the body we'd like to be, because we know how awful and terrible we can be. In his book, Prepared to Answer, author Mark Paustian wrote that if we knew what was in his heart and mind, we would want to kill him. Not just be disgusted, not just be turned off, but we'd actually want to kill him. And that may seem extreme, but quite frankly, it's true of us too. I mean, if you knew what went through my mind and heart, if I knew what went through your mind and heart, we wouldn't want to just have nothing to do with each other. We would want to kill each other. Think about human history. We can't see into each other's minds and hearts, and yet history is still filled with people killing each other. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And yet, Paul comes along, and under inspiration from the Holy Spirit, he writes You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Oh, Paul, you got to be kidding me. This is a recipe for disaster. Do you know who I am and what I'm capable of? How could we possibly join together and actually function the poor, miserable sinners that we are? But see, it's not, the difference isn't who we are. The difference is the body into which we are joined. He writes, the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we who are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And this is what's made all the difference. Through baptism, our old sinful selves were killed, drowned. Just as Paul wrote to the Romans, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So I'm asking you today to take a fresh look at yourself. Don't look at those faults and failings and weaknesses and inabilities. Because quite frankly, if you're looking through eyes of faith, if you're looking through the eyes of your Heavenly Father, you won't see them. Because if you look through his eyes, he sees you as the very body of his one and only beloved Son. Through baptism, you have been cleansed, purified, nourished, strengthened, clothed, and presented before your Heavenly Father, bearing the very aroma of Christ. You smell clean and beautiful and holy. When God the Son steps into the presence of God the Father, he is literally presenting you and me before him. Again, God assures through Paul, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That means that all those faults are fixed. All those failures are forgotten. All those weaknesses are strengthened. All those inabilities are empowered. You are the body of Christ himself, a new creation. That means that the old has gone and the new has come. Now, I know that sounds pretty neat. But when you start to think about it, you still, come on, Pastor, I only have so much to offer. You know, when it came to standing in line to get all those really cool gifts, you know, I got in the wrong line. I just don't have a lot to offer, Lord. But here's God's answer. In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Over the last few months, we've been engaged in a congregational planning process called the SAA, the Self-Assessment and Adjustment Program, and it began with what was called a pulse survey. We ask you as a congregation to go online or use a hard copy to answer a series of questions to help us all get to know better what you think, how things are going, what are things that maybe could be done differently, what can we celebrate, what opportunities do we have to witness, to serve, to grow in grace. And I'm very thankful for all the responses, the time that people took. I think most people took almost an hour to share their thoughts and feelings, a wonderful thing. Thank you for doing that. But it was interesting to me to note that throughout those surveys, and I know this is kind of the nature of it, but throughout those surveys, there were a lot of we shoulds. Do I mean by that, we shoulds? We should offer this. We should offer that. We should start this program or that program. There were a number of I ams, which is kind of neat to see. I am doing this, I am doing that, I am giving to this degree, and then there's a lot to be thankful for there. But you know, I didn't see a single I will. I will do this. I will be a part of that. I will get this done. Why is that? You got to kind of wonder. What is it that keeps us from saying, I am going to be a part of this. I am going to use my gift. I am going to function as the part of the body that I am. Now, in some ways, I think it's implied. So many of us are used to just playing our part, doing our thing. Sometimes that can lead to a little complacency because we're just so used to doing it. And we've always done it that way, as Lutherans are fond of saying. But maybe there's also some confusion over purpose. Maybe not quite sure what the direction is, or not understanding who we are in Christ and how we play our part in the body of Christ. Hence the questions this morning. This manifestation of the body of Christ called New Life Congregation needs all of you. Every single one of you. Just as the scriptures here declare. You're not really being asked to choose which part you want to be. You're not even really being asked how you want to use the part that you want to be. You're being asked to recognize who you are in Christ, who He has made you and designed you to be, because you do have a function and an importance and a purpose. You are essential to the very body of Christ, each and every one of you, just as God created you to be. And we know with confidence that it is in Him that we truly live and move and have our being. Now, next Sunday, we'll be hosting a family forum, and we'll be presenting the results of those surveys, a number of data collection that took place on the parts of the Board for Lay Ministry, the elders, the planning committee. Recommendations have been put together. We have a direction as a congregation, what we would like to do as a congregation, seeking the Lord's blessing on what we pray will be His will in our congregation's life for the next year. But we want you to be a part of that. Come and find out what it is. Share if you think it's the right direction. Think about, pray about how you can be a part of the future of our congregation. And in the meantime, be in the Word. Study it. Pray it. Participate in the Lord's very body and blood in His Holy Supper. Share with your Heavenly Father in prayer, all in the confidence that you are the body of Christ. We are part of Him together. And together in Him, we can accomplish what He wills. God grant it. Amen.